Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who is changing us, conforming us into the image of your Son. Lord, we thank you that your word will change us and mold us yet more into your likeness and your way. And grant and help us, Father, that we may take up this word not just into our minds and heads, but above all into our heart. In Jesus' name. Well, I'd like to speak today on a problem that I believe is hitting Christendom. And it's a problem with a lot of professing Christians who just don't settle. We don't settle it with God. We don't settle the cost of discipleship. Who just run away when God is trying to hone in or maybe trying to corner us. Human nature will always struggle and try and get free. It reminds me of parents with children, particularly when they go shopping or they're holding the child in their arms because they know there's traffic around and it's a busy street, and that child wants to get free and it's throwing a paddy and trying to get free, and you're trying to hold it tight because you know that you could lose your child or there's danger around. And God does the same with us. But with God, he does know how to hold us with that grip. And he's not about to let us go. Those who have been called and chosen from the foundation of the world. Thank God for that. Today I'm calling this teaching, Spiritual Wanderers Are in Rebellion. Spiritual wanderers are in rebellion. When God called the children of Israel, he called them in a state and a spirit of rebellion. They were rebellious and a stiff-necked people. And he chose them out of all nations to make covenant with them and a fellowship with them. And in order to do that, we know the story, they had to be brought out of Egypt, out of bondage, Babylon. And for 40 years, God was trying to get out of their hearts this rebellion, this pride. They're wanting to do it their way. And as a result of it, it led for them for 40 years wandering through the wilderness. And the question that I raise is, that is this still spiritually going on today? Why, I believe it is. We are still finding many who profess Christ's name are in spiritual rebellion. They don't really like God when he begins to put that grip, that vice on us, on them. And they like to feel that they're free and to worship God on their own terms and own conditions. And that is why, sadly, the Christian church is in such a state that it is. And why there is so much confusion. Because very little discipleship, I mean true discipleship, is ever taught and preached over the pulpit. Why, if it was taught as Jesus taught it, we sadly empty most churches. But thank God that he's got a remnant who will respond, who will hear his voice, and who will allow the Holy Spirit to work godly affections within the heart. But one of the problems we have is we have spiritual wanderers today, and they reveal that they are in rebellion. Christians or professing believers who are not really settled, who go from one place to another, from one ministry to another, from one preacher to another, who never settle down at actually the diagnosis of that is rebellion. And I'm calling it for what it is. Now, let's look at some scriptures. Let's look at Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 6. Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 6. And he says, I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph. I will bring them back, because I have mercy on them. And they shall be as though I had not cast them aside. For I am the Lord their God, and I will heal them. And I believe that that is a promise to the house of God in these last days. And we are part of that promise. We are part of Zechariah's prophesying. That in the last days, God will bring back these rebellious people, and he will heal them. And I believe the first stages of healing is not so much healing in our bodies, but it is healing in the heart, the mind, the attitude. That is the healing that's been taking place over us over the last 20, 30, 40 years. And we know that experientially. Let's also turn to Hosea chapter 9 and verse 17. Hosea chapter 9 and verse 17. Chapter 9 and verse 17. My God will cast them away because they did not obey him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations. And that is what happens when you are not willing to obey, to yield over, to let the Holy Spirit do that work in your life, in your heart. It says quite here, you become those wanderers among the nations. And sadly, we've got so many professing believers who fulfill that, typify that, they just wander around lost. And that is the state that they get into, where they can no longer in the end begin to discern their left hand to their right hand. They just do not know what is going on. They do not know what the Spirit is saying to the church. When you try to talk spiritual things with them or what the Lord's doing, they look at you as though you're from another planet many times, because they are not hearing what the Spirit is saying. That is why Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And we see that divine principle that runs through the Bible, ran through Jesus' ministry, and it runs through our ministry. Many will listen, but many do not understand or hear. That is why the gospel is life for some and death to others, sadly. And that is awesome. So the nature of these scriptures, as I've read, is God's judgment. But also, we see it's his eternal forgiveness as well, because Israel became these wanderers in the desert. And we see how God deals with those who wander. Those who just are not prepared to pay the price, to sell all for the kingdom of God and to make it in. And we can see this in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 14 and verse 10. Jeremiah 14 and verse 10, which says, thus says the Lord to the people, thus they have loved to wander, they have not restrained their feet, therefore the Lord does not accept them. He will remember their iniquity now and punish their sins. Wanderers wander because they don't want sin dealt with in their lives. And that's why when God begins to hone in and he begins to purify them, and cleanse them. They reveal they don't want it because they act up, leave and go and try and find somewhere else. And they always think that the grass will be greener somewhere else, but it never is. Because what they are doing is actually running away from God, which is what Jonah did as well. And those who are called by God, you will find that God will catch up with you just like he did with Jonah, and you will find that you'll spiritually land up in the fish's belly. And the time you've experienced that, in that outer darkness, like Jonah, you'll be only too pleased to yield over and do it God's way. Why is it that God is so against, opposed to wanderers? Well, because they go around saying they are believers and that they love Jesus, but do not bear the fruit of it. They're hypocrites. They're revealing that they're also unstable. Wanderers are people who will build you up with all hopes, all promises, only to let you down. And that typifies so much in society today. This typifies this spirit that's in family life, in marriages and so forth, where there is not that stability in the relationships, not that stability in the husband or the wife, and so the children will suffer. They promise and they say all the right things, but over a course of time, it reveals that they don't deliver the goods. The overcomers have to deliver the goods that glorify God. And what are those goods? They are all the first fruits that are brought in and placed upon the altar. How will you know otherwise? How will God know unless he sees the first fruits brought in and placed onto the altar? That is a sign of commitment. It is a sign that they have stayed with it. It's a sign that they are stable, that they can be relied upon. We are seeing such an instability in society now that it's becoming alarming. People are falling away. People no longer have that ability to remain and stay in because they have become so selfish, so inward looking, that they lose sight of the responsibilities that they have. And that's what it does. And so you will find society begins to crack up. It begins to fall apart. And it's happening. We're seeing it. We hear it. We hear it in the news. Politicians are concerned about it. We see it all around us. Local council can't manage it anymore. It's making local councils bankrupt, trying to provide for these people that are going under. Families that are splitting up, going into drugs, alcohol as a substitute. All that tells us that it is a society that is no longer stable, insecure, can't be relied upon. The reason that industry, commerce, isn't as strong as it is, because people are not reliable in their jobs anymore. They come and they go. So everything, in a sense, is cracking. Now, is this to be found in the house of God? Why, no, it should not. God is building his house now in this time. And one of the things that he's doing with us, he's building stability. That we are resolute. That we know experientially that we stand upon that rock, the rock of Jesus Christ, that cannot change or be moved. So that in the house of God, we see men and women who love Christ, who are stable, who are reliable. And so God then can bring people along, yes, who are damaged or whatever, they can be brought along knowing that you are stable and they will see stability, which will be a part of their healing. This is what children need. This is why they're growing up damaged like they are, because they don't see this stability. And where does stability have to start? Sorry, but God works through divine order. It has to start with men. So many men are unstable today because they have not had fathers where they have seen that stability to learn from. And so it becomes a vicious circle. But these are the signs of the times that we are in now, and the great falling away that we are now experiencing, that Jesus spoke of before his soon return. In Jude 13, the New Testament has something to reveal about these spiritual wanderers. In Jude 13, which says, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Here we are. It speaks about these apostates who are falling away. They're depraved. They're wandering. They're like those raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame. Nobody likes to be in a storm. If you've ever been in a storm, it's frightening. It's one of the most insecure feelings when you're in a raging storm. And that's what it is. They're wanderers. They're stars. Lost. And what is reserved for them? Blackness. Darkness forever. There's a lot of professing Christians who think they're going to make it into the kingdom of God, but they're not. Because they're unstable. Insecure. And what is their fate? Jude has already just said it. They deceive themselves. Because they're unstable. Now God will not have that of us. That's why he that endures to the end shall be saved. This is why I'm always saying and will continue to say, whatever your trials, whatever you're going through, just stay with it. God will be faithful. He will bring you through. He hasn't forsaken you. Yes, it's hurting for a season. But God will bring you through. And every time you come through those trials, you are more stable than when you went in before. There's a greater stability he's worked within you, that anchoring. Because trials are the best thing for that. And this is why so many Christians, when a trial comes along, they run away. And think that they can run away from their trials. But you can't. You only take them to the next church, the next ministry, the next prayer meeting, you name it. That's why they wandered from place to place to place. Have no idea of what really the body of Christ is, or the body. Have no understanding that this is the baptism of the Spirit that baptizes you into a body to function. And your very presence makes up that assembly that glorifies God. Very little understanding of that. This is one of the things that's really lacking today in the house of God, is the understanding of what really the body of Christ really is. Most of its understanding is from a denominational viewpoint. Man-made, man-controlled. But praise God, he's delivering us from all of that. That is not stable. Man-made things is coming into judgment, and it will face God on that day. It won't stand because it's not upon the rock of Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible reveals that some will return. Maybe some today who will listen to this message will return and come back to some form of stability and come back and stand fully upon the rock of Jesus Christ and not on some man-made ministry. James chapter 5 verse 19 has something to say to this. James chapter 5 and verse 19. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. And there we go. So, brethren, God said you can have that ability. I can be with you and bless you in helping restore and bring some of these spiritual wanderers back. And look at the blessing there. Hallelujah. Now, Peter has also something to say about these wanderers. And if we turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14 to 17. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14 to 17. 14 to 17. Here he has something to say about this. He's talking here about the depravity of these false teachers in the context. And here in verse 14, he says, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, they have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but he who rebuked for his iniquity, a dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice, restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried about by tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. That is spiritual wanderers who are in repentance. And we all know the story of Balaam on his way to curse Israel, and the donkey stops him and the angel speaks to him. Okay. He was in rebellion, but he still got the gift in operation, and it had to take the Holy Spirit to stop him. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will do that when a minister who has a gift, who's going into rebellion, into sin, sometimes God will have to stop that gift operating because it will cause damage otherwise. But the point is, a wanderer in rebellion. Why was he in rebellion? Why is wandering? Because he loved money, power. And that's often the case, you see? And so these wanderers that are in rebellion, they're in rebellion because they're of the wrong spirit, the wrong motives, the wrong heart. That's why I thank God he enabled and helped me in my early years of ministry when somebody came along and said, don't spend your time with this. Go to where God really is and where you will get real collections. And God enabled me and strengthened me to resist that. Because that was a golden carrot. And that was at a time when I was in financial difficulty and very little is coming in. I thank God. Because all I would have landed on was some spiritual wanderer in rebellion, deceiving yet others with wrong motives. God is gracious and merciful. So there we are. So, what have we discerned there with these people? What have we to see today? For some who are listening to this teaching, I pray that they will receive deliverance always, also themselves, if This is their problem. But we need to look at some areas of this. And firstly, those that are spiritual wanderers, that are in rebellion, you find that they have an independent spirit. And therefore, because they have this independent spirit, they're subject to themselves only and their own ministry. Or they'll say that they're subject to God, subject to Him, but they're not really, because in spirit, they're rebellious. And the rebellious will always put themselves first. And so because they put themselves first, they're going to put their ministry that they have, that is going to be put in such a way that it's going to provide first for them. And that's why you find there's so much begging that goes on today. Deceiving people. Because you will find that they have that independent spirit. They're not really walking as disciples the way of the cross. So therefore, they're going to think first about themselves. And so because they think about themselves, they're going to make sure that they have enough money, they have all their creature comforts, and they will call it prosperity. They will call it God's blessings. And they will deceive the people. They will say, because I'm walking like this, if you walk with God and obey Him, you too will be blessed also. And so the people are deceived and fall for it. The reason that he is blessed, or she is blessed, is because they've got a great personality. They know how to hypnotize and deceive people. They're probably really good looking, dress really well, and so the people fall for it. And so they are providing, as they beg and ask them for money, so they are gullible and they give it, and though in return they say, you too can be blessed like this. Well, probably the problem is that you are behind a pulpit like they are. You don't have maybe 2,000 eyes looking at you as they do. You probably are not as eloquent and gifted with all flattering regard like they are. So little wonder they can make a good living out of it. And then they have the gall, the audacity to turn around and say, God will bless you also as well. What a deception. They use the platform in which to deceive. But you're not going to be able to go on a platform and do that as well. Because that's the only way probably you will get money as well. So look how deception works. That's why God hates it. Because they make merchandise of the gospel. Because they reveal, they're in rebellion, and they have an independent spirit. And they're not about to walk the way of the cross. Because if they do, that means all of that recognition would have to go. And that's too big a cost to pay. So there's the first area. Another area. They're not really committed to the Lord, nor in fellowship, and nor in churches. And that's why you've got so many evangelists today. Again, these superstars, megastars, going around with their entourage, their private plane, or whatever it would be. But then they're not really committed to the body of Christ. And they're not about to be. Because they have no understanding of what the true body of Christ is about. Their ministry is based on entertainment. And entertaining. And that is the great deception of today. And they produce nothing but spiritual wanderers like themselves. Going from meeting to meeting, show to show. So, again, God is opposed to it. And God is judging it. God is bringing these ministries now into judgment. And this is why they're so desperate. They're begging like they are. Or I'm told, I'm not that I watch it, but these shows on the God channel. Yes, a lot of them now are beginning to fold up. Precisely because of this. Because of this. And probably they're folding up, leaving huge debts as well, which would have to be paid. So these are not committed. They know very little about koinonia, true fellowship, the unity, oneness of the Spirit amongst believers and Almighty God. And the reason that they don't know anything about it is because they travel from one place to the other all the time. They are not, most many of these evangelists, they are not identified with a body where they too function from that body. They have this idea of the universal church, which of course is what the Roman Catholics have propagated. They believe they're the true universal church. So whatever church you go to, you are part of the church. Well, under their system, yes, that works. It's not under the system of God, it doesn't. That is not how it works. That is not scriptural. It's not Bible. It is the Holy Spirit who baptizes you into a local assembly to function and operate. But that's another subject. Another area we can look at. Often you will get false visions, revelations, where the Word of God is twisted in their own way of thinking to their own destructions. So they have a way of which they manipulate and twist the Word of God. And all it is so that it builds them up, builds their reputation up, and builds their bank balance up. Anybody can twist and use the Word of God to do that. I could start doing it right now, but I choose not to. Because thank God He's put the fear of God in me, which I entrust at the beginning of wisdom. But that is what they do. And so, there's all these lies that are behind it, rebellion, and it creates nothing but turmoil. And so, you can't grow in an environment like that. God can't have a family growing up in an environment like that. So He can't bless it. And it just remains divided, fragmented, and so you've got a fragmented amount of professing believers just going here, there, everywhere, but never growing. Never growing spiritually. Not maturing and developing and growing into sons that the Bible says we should. This is such a big problem in the house of God and amongst Christians. This is why I felt I had to address this today, because I know this is going out right around the world. Some will like this, and some won't like this. But that's the cost you pay for being a preacher. Because I have given nothing but the Word of God on this. God hates this spiritual wandering that is amongst so many believers. Because it's really a sign of rebellion. And the rebellious will not enter the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter what you say. Doesn't matter where you go. Doesn't matter how many people go to that religious Christian meeting. The point is, are you one? Or have you allowed the Holy Spirit to take hold of your life and to settle you down and to begin to knuckle down so that you can start to grow and mature and bear the fruit that you are to do as a believer? That is what God wants of us. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Father, we thank you again today. Thank you for speaking directly to us. Thank you for exposing what is a real big problem amongst professing believers. And Lord, I pray that those who pray and take this into their heart, the desire to knuckle down, that you will bless them, you will lead them and guide them. You will take them to an assembly of believers who love Jesus and who have the same vision to be part of the bride of Christ in these last days. Father, I pray you will do this, Lord. in Jesus' name.